Sometimes a band comes into existence so fully formed, so fully complete, that it sounds like they've been at it for years. But in fact, Robithian is Deanna Bellos' debut record, and her power punches of punk rock like Corndog Sonnet No. 7 and Shattering are some of her first songs. Deanna rocket-shipped out of the Chicago scene under the influence of label mate punk stalwart Brendan Kelly of the Lawrence Arms, but with a sound completely her own. Robithian is about a very specific time in Deanna's life, caught between the potential of a music career and the stability of a day job, pining after a love that, at the time, had a deeply uncertain future. The confidence with which she belts out her insecurity is at once triumphant and instantly humanizing. Who else could pull off a fist-pumping jam about not going to dental school? Her musical maturity, with an assist from local producer Matt Jordan, belies her age, even if the fact that the classic Norm Macdonald vehicle Dirty Jobs, name-checked in a song title, represents roughly half of her cinematic knowledge. Just kidding, Deanna. My favorite Norm joke is, I think there's nothing cooler than being a lone wolf, except at wolf picnics, when you don't have a partner for the wolf wheelbarrow race.
I had a life, a house, cars, respect in the community. Suddenly it was all taken away. I think I finally realized just how low I'd sunk one day when I was at my daughter's soccer game. She lives with her mom. And I was standing on the sidelines and a cop came up and asked me to move along. That's when it hit me. I'm not even a human.
Here's your $2.
To Deanna, who is at a really interesting point in her life, tending to lab mice by day and shredding in front of eager crowds by night. Just a note, we had a variety of technical troubles, so the sound isn't as great as I'd like it to be, but I have a feeling that you will survive. Go listen to Sincere Engineer's album, Robithian, and go see Sincere Engineer with Heart Attack Man on the West Coast this summer. Thanks so much to Deanna for doing this, and Toby from Red Scare for helping set it up. And seriously, this record is still my album of the year, and it came out like 18 months ago. So go listen. I'm David Callison. This is The Sound and the Story, and this is about to be Deanna Bellos. All right, I am here with Deanna Bellos of Sincere Engineer.
Hey.
This is, for those wanting the behind-the-scenes picture, this is take 4, I think, of trying this, but I think we got it, which is great.
Shitty headphones.
you're a musician. Shouldn't that be like a high like priority?
Listen, I have these Beats by Dre. Apparently, they're not that cool. I don't know. I got my $5
Beats by Dre in 2003. I don't know. They're just not holding up as strong as
apparently
I thought
not.
They might.
The chords proliferate or something. Whatever. All right.
And you're in Chicago, and I'm in Austin. And it's great. And so let's start talking about your album. I practiced pronouncing it today, and I didn't want to ask about the name because like I knew that it was just like a inside just name you made up. Robithian.
That's how I say. Yeah, I don't know. It's like
whatever you want to say.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, part of me likes it, part of me hates it. It's cool.
That's probably for any name that you have to repeat and get asked about a million times,
yep,
I would
exactly
assume. So, but tell me about how that album came to be. Tell me its origin story.
Cool. So, when I was in college, I wrote a bunch of songs, and then Toby Jugg of Red Scare caught wind of that and let me play a couple shows, and then maybe 6 months later, I had a show at the Fireside Bowl in Chicago, and after I was playing, this kid came up to me and was like, hey, I record bands, and I think I can help you take your songs to the next level or something.
Nice.
Like that.
That's like your almost famous moment.
Sure. Is that a movie? I haven't seen it. I don't know.
You haven't seen Almost Famous? Oh.
No.
I don't mean to shame people who haven't seen any movies. My friend has seen zero movies, and she gets mad at me when you're like, you haven't seen that? She's like, no, you know I haven't. I haven't seen anything.
I'm the same way. I've seen two.
Okay, cool. All right.
Back to the Future and Dirty Work. But anyway, so he was like, you know, whatever. And I like kind of brushed it off. And then this kid who I was driving home was like, do you know who that was? You need to like add him on Facebook and make sure you that like you reach out to him when you're you're ready. And I was like, no, I don't know. And turns out he like did a bunch of records that I like a lot. And he, you know, like is good friends with Evan of Intuit Over It.
Yeah.
And like played in a band with him when they were younger.
Oh, cool.
So.
And did he produce the, what's his name?
Matt. He produced the record. Yes.
Cool. Is that the question? Cool, cool. Yeah. And what, okay. What was his name?
His name's Matt Jordan.
Nice. Okay.
Cool. So yeah, I like reached out to him, when I had like 12 or so songs, like full records worth. And then, we got started and, you know, like we both have like full-time jobs. So it was like done on the weekend, like, you know, whatever, 6 hour sessions. And then 9 months later it was done.
Nice.
So that's the story of that. Sorry. I like fumbled through it. The first tape was way better.
No one will ever hear the lost tapes.
The same story, just told a little bit more confidently.
Do you still have a day job?
Yeah.
Day job, yeah. What do you, you don't have to say where you work, but like, what do you do?
Oh, I take care of lab mice.
You take care of lab mice?
Yeah. I don't, how interested are you? I could go into
super
it.
Super interested. Incredibly interested. Like, yeah. So you're in a lab situation.
Yeah. So it's called Notobiotics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like mice that live in a bubble. Whoa. And everything that is like all their food, water, and bedding is brought in. Like, it's like all sterilized and brought in a sterilized environment. So that's my job. I just, I have to make sure like all their stuff is, clean and that, you know, there's no contaminations.
You're like a very important like lab mouse kind of housekeeper person.
Pretty much. Yeah. Nice. It's like for research.
Yeah.
I do like, I facilitate it. I don't do any research myself, but
yeah, my dad, he used to work in a lab in college. He was like an intern and his job, unfortunately was to like after the trials, to dispose of the lab mice.
Sure.
And he was like really, he was like really like kind of cut up about it. And like, and so eventually he went to his boss. He's like, oh, like I can't, you know, I just can't do this anymore. Like this is too much.
Right.
And his boss was like, oh, well, I just throw them away.
Alive?
Yeah. And I was like, okay. And my dad was like, oh God, I think that's worse. Like, I don't, I think that's worse.
Maybe they could eat like garbage and fend for themselves. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's his only job was to do that.
It must have not been, but that's like the only part that I've retained.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I'm sure there was other stuff that he did.
Sure. But it was enough to be like, yo, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want to kill the mice anymore. Cause he was like, I can't remember how he did it, like humanely. He was like, I can't remember. But the guy's like, oh, I don't like, just throw them away. Like, he just didn't give a shit at all. Oh God.
Interesting.
Yeah. You've already mentioned Into Over It.
Yep.
I know you're a Lawrence Holmes fan. You fit kind of nicely in that Midwest punk, Midwest emo kind of space.
Yeah.
Did you like grow up with that? Like, was that something you'd like grown up with?
I grew up with like Lawrence Arms and like all bands related to Brendan Kelly.
Yeah.
But that's like the punk side of it. Like, I also grew up on like classic dad rock.
Nice.
And I worked in dental offices since I was like 15. So I have a lot of that like adult contemporary.
Adult contemporary. Yeah. They always had, it was called Magic 95.5 here. And that's what I think drove me the most insane. At the dentist office. I can't believe it.
Oh my God. It brings back, I like get nostalgic when I hear it now. Like Bruce Hornsby, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, I don't know. I think it's kind of like when I write stuff, I feel like that comes out more than maybe the Lawrence Arms does.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe that's just what I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably like rooted in there, you know, like deeper, especially that stuff that was sort of in the background in your life for a while, you know, as opposed to the stuff that you really consciously listen to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. So can we talk about your songs?
Yeah, of course. Are we just going from the beginning?
Yeah, kind of. But okay. Yeah. Is that,
should
is
I get the lyric sheet out?
Dude, your lyrics are not on the internet, which I feel like we need to fix. Like, I am willing to fix that after this interview because it was very difficult to prepare for.
Put them up on it. I'll send you a CD. Let me know. They're in the book.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't want to be that person to go put them up myself.
I never know who actually. I was thinking about that. I was like, well, do bands just like go up and like do it themselves? I don't know.
Oh, I don't think so. It's someone with time on their hands. There is one for Overbite, and I think a lot of them are wrong.
Oh God, that's what you guys like. That's what musicians maybe always say. They're like, and then I listen to them, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's right. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm gonna say lyrics to you at points, and you can tell me if they're wrong. But in the very first song, Corn Dog Sonnet number 7, which is a great name for anything. You repeat like, what am I supposed to do now?
And yeah, that one's correct.
Yeah. And
is this whole podcast just me saying yes or no to correctness?
Yes. It's sponsored by genius.com. Yep.
Oh, nice.
No, so when you wrote, you know, like, what am I supposed to do now? Kind of, where were you, if you remember, kind of where were you in your life, and what were you thinking about?
So that song was written about a boy.
There's a lot of boy song, or there's a lot of, I think, relationship songs. Are they all about the same person?
More or less. I mean, a lot of this is very loosely based or like over exaggerated.
Right.
I'm like with that guy now, so it's not like I hate him or anything. I was just like,
does he like having songs written about him or dislike?
I think he's indifferent. I don't know. He's always like, people are gonna think I'm such a like, you know, mean pan. He doesn't use that word. And I'm, you know, I'm like, no one gives a shit.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, so it was like, what, like, I don't know. We weren't hanging out as much as I wanted to. So I wrote that song when I was bored. That's basically that story.
Gotcha. Yeah. But you talk a lot about on this record, of sort of, kind of like moping around, and I think you bring, an honesty to, this feeling of just not wanting to do anything. And
that's funny.
Instead of reacting in these like in like really, really big ways. And then you talk about that some, but like you like a lot of this is like
doing nothing.
Yeah. I'm not in a situation that I like, but I'm like doing nothing, and I guess that's frustrating, but also like I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. That's interesting that you say that, because that's exactly what it was. I also, like, I write, like, all these songs in, like, my living room, and I feel like that somehow is obvious based on what I, like, the content. I need to, like, start moving elsewhere to write.
Right. Like, if you took, like, if you went on a cruise, like, we'd get a whole, like, ocean-themed album. Yeah.
I should do that, so it's not the same shit.
So I'm excited to talk to you about this because, just the other day, my cousin's boyfriend was, in college, and he was planning to go to dental school.
Yeah.
And he just decided that he does not want to go to dental school. And I said, oh my God, I have the best song for you.
Yeah. The one I wrote for him.
the one song about not going to dental school. But can you tell me about that journey? I mean, obviously, you're still in, like, you still have a day job. You're still in, like, science. Like, where does music kind of fit? That was two questions. But, like, I would love to hear about the dental school thing. And then kind of where does music fit into your career plan or just now?
Gotcha. So, like I mentioned earlier, I worked at dental offices since I was, like, 15. That was, like, kind of my projected, like, that's, like, what I wanted to do when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And that song sort of explores how, like, the dream I had as a kid, like, not as cool when you, like, you know, get to school and, like, start failing organic chemistry. And it's like, oh, you know what, I don't think. And, like, and then it's like, I like my teeth. I don't really need to see other people's.
Was it a feeling of like, I don't want to do, like, I don't want to go in this profession, or like, I'm not as good sort of at this, like, at this part of schooling or whatever as I thought I might be?
Both. I mean,
yeah,
I lost interest. Like, I was like playing guitar more than studying at that point.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was on academic probation like twice.
Right.
And I, like, you know, it's just like this, like, thing where I put all my eggs in one basket and I was like, I don't even want to do this anymore, but I'm, like, already too far into it. So I just, like, pushed through and finished and then found a job that's, like, relevant to, like, I finished with a biology degree. That's how I got the job now that I have. It was a blessing in disguise. I have, like, shaky hands. No one wants me to be their dentist.
Dude, I'd love for you to be my dentist. I think it would be a hoot and a holler. Considering our audio troubles, I don't know how long it would take us to.
Right, I'm just, like, fumbling. Everyone's like, oh, no.
It was actually my fault the whole time. And, yeah, I like your lyric. It's funny for years how I kept trying, laughed at all the fears I'd been hiding. What were those fears of just, like, not, if it wasn't this, then, like, what was it going to be? Like, if I don't have this thing, then what am I going to do?
Pretty much. Like, you know, everyone in high school is like, oh, you need experience, you need community service, all that stuff. And I did it all, like, tailored specifically for dental school. So it's like, what? And then my grades were so bad in college by the time I finished, I couldn't go to grad school. Like, I'd have to go back to take classes to bring it up.
Right.
All that stuff's bullshit.
That song. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just gonna say, like, the music stuff sort of, like, gave me at least another thing to do with my time. And, like, you know, I'm trying to balance both for as long as I can. I don't know.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yep.
I think that song, that this song, Overbite, is such a great, like, my life isn't determined by, some fucking letters, which I assume you meant, like, grades, perhaps, something like that. Yeah. At the end, you say, I don't care about anything as much as I used to. And is that, do you feel that was, like, a resignation or more of, like, a triumph?
Oh, that's interesting. The resignation one. But now that you say that, that's cool.
Yeah, no, I could hear also, like, yes, like, finally, like, I just don't, like, give a shit about what all these other people want me to do or what I think I have to do.
Yeah, I did not think of it that way, but that is a cool way to read into it.
Yeah.
Trying, laughed at all the fears that I've been hiding. kind of hurt. Not as much as the one from you, though. That one hurt way worse. That one hurt way worse.
In Screw Up, you say the line, "I'm sleeping in the same place again. I'm going to regret all the places I haven't been." Which reminded me of, I know you're a Lawrence Arms fan. I'm a huge Lawrence Arms fan. But it reminded me of that lyric from Drunk Mouth Kitchen Smile, which is, "I should be on trial for everything I haven't done."
Yeah, that's a great lyric.
Yeah. And you're just reminding me of that. But was that written sort of like, I'm just kind of in the same routine, like I'm doing the same
things. I don't even particularly like that one all that well. There's like, that was one of the earlier songs I wrote, and I don't think I was like as good at putting words together as not that I'm good now, but I did get better. I don't think that line is like particularly cool. Right. I think it's a filler in my mind. Yeah, it's like a filler one, but yes, it means that, like, having not doing much for myself.
Yeah. How old, like, what's the range of kind of age on these songs?
So Here's Your $2, which is a Dirty Work line. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That one is the oldest, and I played it at my first show.
Okay.
In May of 2015.
Okay.
Then the most recent one is Keep You Company.
Okay.
Which would have been like February or March of 2017.
Okay. So that there's still like, even the most recent one is still like a couple years ish. Yeah, a couple years.
I'm definitely itching to play like new songs as soon as possible, just because I'm like, if I get, I don't know, like I hear them all the time, and like I listen to when we were like getting it mixed and stuff, I just listened to it so much. So I'm like, I want to listen to something else.
Right. Yeah. It's weird. Cause even before you tour, usually like when you're you go through the whole album recording process and you just have to hear it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. Every like little thing is like,
Right. And I saw in an interview that you said that adding in like, "I want to jump in Lake Michigan," you liked how the whole steady put in Mississippi River to their songs. I'm a huge obviously I'm like writer in my 30s, so you know, I'm a massive Hold Steady fan.
My second favorite band.
Yeah. What's number one favorite band? Lawrence Arms?
Lawrence Arms, yeah.
Yeah, nice. All right, cool. I just didn't want to, I just wanted to know if you want to elaborate on that, or kind of when it comes to you to like steal the, like, I always think it's really cool when artists sort of carry on that tradition or things like that.
I probably do it more than I even like am aware of. Then I'm just like, I used to like listen to other songs and like during the parts with no lyrics, like kind of sing over them and see if I could write to that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them happened to be like a Hold Steady thing. And I was like, I can't remember what the, like the rough draft of it was, but it like, you know, I don't know. That's where like mentioning Lake Michigan came in.
Yeah.
Cause it was like, they mentioned they have like so much crossover with like the characters and stuff.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a whole universe.
Yeah, my friend and I are obsessed with them. He's way more obsessed than I am, and it's like, it's just like these people are like friends. It's like you hear about them so much.
Yeah,
it's like weird. I don't know. I'm gonna be honest. I don't know their catalog that well, but I know all the hits and like.
Yeah.
I can go see them and know like 80% of the songs.
Right, right. Yeah, but they have a deep and the fan. I am definitely.
Are you one of those? Are you in the club?
Yeah. Well, I happen to write for a website that annotates all of their lyrics, like,
gotcha,
to a very like hardcore clicks and hisses for any old steady sure. fans out there. But
my friend's probably in that then or something.
Yeah, so like I'm very and I've only met Craig once, Craig Fan, lead singer of the old steady. And I think he's always like a little wary of like.
The super fans.
Yeah. Which like I don't blame, but it's just like he was kind of at a distance, and I'm like, oh, that's fair, to be honest.
Yeah.
In Candlewax, you say, the fire I played with ended up burning me, but I want it back because I'm cold and bored and miss the heat. I assume that's a metaphor, but
yeah,
I was wondering if you kind of remember. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Do you remember kind of where you were when you wrote that, what you were thinking of?
It was, same dude.
Yep.
The one I'm with. It was just like, this was like before we were together, and I was like, mm-hmm. we got into like, it wasn't an argument, but it was like, we kind of parted ways.
Yeah.
It only ended up lasting like 2 weeks, but I got a good song out of it. I was just like, you know, I should have saw this coming. I should mention he's like 15 years older than me, and there's like this whole thing about like, this isn't good for us, whatever. And like,
gotcha.
He was like hesitant to like date me or whatever.
Gotcha.
So a lot of this, like, it wasn't him being like mean to me or anything. It was just like, I was like trying to like be with him, and he was like trying to be a good person and not like, get involved with, like, I was like 22, 23 at the time.
Right.
But then he got over it, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
So that's where, because you say should have saw it coming, but I was just a kid.
Yep.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yep. I like the idea. You also say in there, I guess I only like things that destroy me because everything else seems so boring.
Yeah. That's I'm like fighting for something that like, he's like, nah, I don't think this is a good idea.
Right.
I sound like a creep. He like has
no, dude. No, I get it.
For being persistent. Yeah. It took some convincing.
Right. I'm sure he wanted to. He was like making sure you were serious and making sure that he like wasn't weird and all that stuff. All that good relationshipy stuff.
Good times. I got a record out of it, so it's cool.
Are you waiting for a non-traditional relationship to happen again? I know you're still with this guy, so.
Well,
when
you asked me if I'm in a different place now, now all the songs are going to be stupid, like, you know, nobody wants to hear it, love songs.
Yeah. No, I think that we need more love songs in the punk scene, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
I think it's like so hard to write happy songs.
Mm-hmm. But
and it just sounds so lame.
But you write like a lot of your songs are very musically, they're very kind of like upbeat and with a ton of melody.
It's like a Third Eye Blind approach.
Yes,
not
exactly.
To compare myself to the greats, but
yes. Yeah, absolutely. I saw, this might be weird. I don't know. Maybe I'll cut this out. Who knows? Nobody knows. I was doing research to be a professional, but I saw a video of you doing,
With Garrett.
Like Third Eye Blind song. Yeah. And he didn't quite know the lyrics, but like you clearly did. And then it was this kind of great moment where you like stepped in and then like, it was neat. Everyone was having fun. It wasn't like he like fucked up, but it was just like you like knew this shit down, and it was very obvious.
Oh, I love that band so much.
Yeah, you're not the first person, and you're not the first musician that I've talked to that has said that. I really like that band too.
It's like their melodies are. I mean, there's a reason that song is like. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. I love them a lot, and I don't care if people like shame me for it.
Yeah. No, How often do you think?
think about dying, 'cause it haunts me every time I sleep. So I'll just stay awake and watch cable TV.
In terms of tattoo-worthy lines, yeah. I think that "You're the king of bad timing and I'm the queen of just getting by" is, I think, on the record as a whole, probably that's the number one tattoo line.
Interesting. That's cool. Yes.
That's a great line.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm proud of that one, I think.
Yeah.
I want to get tattoos with my bandmates.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't like my ideas, so
what are your, or I don't know if you want to say your ideas for tattoos, but
well, we've come up with a bunch. I can't even remember any off the top of my head. But basically the stupider the better for me.
Do you have any right now?
Any tattoos?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I have a bunch of stupid. Okay. I want them all gone.
Okay.
I gotta find someone that likes my band so much that that removes tattoos where, yeah. I can be like, you can come into any show, just take all of,
right.
these off.
You just need a year to strip them all from you.
Yeah, I tried getting one removed once and it didn't go well.
Right, I heard it's super painful. And
oh yeah, and you have to go, yeah. like 14 times.
Yeah,
it looks exactly the same. I paid like $200. It looks exactly the same.
So you end the album with Ghost in the Graveyard,
yep.
which I think is one of the catchiest songs. The melodies on here are all so goddamn good, though. And I think that's like what stands out, as well as your voice and the lyrics. But it's like this record is in my head constantly, like in a good way. In a good way.
Yeah. Cool.
And at the end you say, maybe this is what it's all about. The world hands you your life, and you spend the whole time trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Do you feel like that's kind of, that felt somewhat of a summation of the record in a way, of you dealing with this situation with this guy?
I didn't really take that approach when I wrote it, but
yeah.
I could say that, yes.
What approach did you take? Do you remember?
That one kind of just like fell into place.
Yeah.
I don't know. Most days are like a pain in the ass.
Right.
And
right.
your whole life is just figuring out it.
Yeah, right. Yep.
It sounds more, I don't know. I think there's more, like, it, I don't think that line was like super elegant or anything, but
yeah.
The content sort of holds more weight than like the actual words do, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And then again, I don't know if it was meant to be triumphant, but like you can't catch me is pretty great how it's used in the song, talking about you know,
the game,
friends
or whatever,
and life and the game. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's what started me writing that song, was I like somehow thought of the parallel. I was high. the parallel between like the, there's too many fish in this graveyard, there's too many ghosts in the sea.
Yeah.
So it's like this, you know, whatever. It kind of wrote itself after I wrote that.
Right.
Part.
Do you usually start with like the beginning? Like when you write, do you start with the beginning of a song, or do you have like pieces kind of all over that you bring in?
I have pieces all over. It's usually, in that case, it was not, as I just mentioned, but it's usually like I'll write a chorus and then write verses to fit it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Or like if I write something like in my mind in my mind is super catchy, I'll like try to challenge myself to write something even catchier for chorus.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that pulled through. I think that came through. I think that's a good strategy.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Cool. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about, and this might be unintentional, you might not have intended to this, but it's something I noticed. And so, again, it feels weird somewhat analyzing your work that you did and had your reasons for. But sure. I think it's interesting to sort of get different perspectives or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of like, you write a lot about how you're physically feeling, and this, so you like hit your forehead on the front door, you're lying on the ceramic tile, your body's broken, throwing up in the parking lot, lying on your back on the floor, scratch my face on the concrete, sinking like, quickly with this concrete heart. You write very like viscerally. Does that feel intentional, or is that just kind of what comes out?
That's just kind of what comes out. Although I did throw up in a parking lot. The thing about like when I hit my head on the door, it was actually a toilet. but I didn't want to write that because my mom heard it or something. You know, whatever. It took me a while to like learn how to like to drink where I wouldn't end up sick at like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of those things are true. Like I spent a lot of my life throwing up.
Yeah. That's fair. You know, that's what you do in your youth.
It still happens.
Right. Well, you're still young.
My favorite thing is to blame the bar for poisoning me.
Right.
My boyfriend and I got free shots at like this tiki bar down the street.
Yeah.
And I was like, we weren't prepared to drink those, and she gave it to us anyway. They poisoned us.
Yeah. I like how it's also like it's always like the last drink, you know, that did it. So it's I remember I went out with my girlfriend at the time for her 21st birthday, and she had like a ton of drinks throughout the night. And then like she had like a lemon drop shot. Like right at like 2 a.m. And
that
she
was
like, it was that lemon drop. I was like, yeah, I mean, maybe the 7 other drinks beforehand, but like, sure.
Yeah.
Like you call so it what funny. You want it.
It's always blame others. That's
exactly.
The best one.
that's Sincere Engineer's motto. I think always blame others.
Deny everything. Admit nothing. Yep.
So are you, new music, happening in your mind on paper?
Yeah, I've got like 4.5 songs. We're going to try to release like 1 or 2.
Oh, cool.
One of those will probably go on a record. And I'm hoping to be done with that by the end of the year, but I don't know. If you had asked me this in like December, I had nothing. So
okay.
5 is good.
Right.
I'm on a good track. It's only February.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's been a slow process. I'm kind of worried about it, but that's okay.
Okay.
Wait, can I tell a story?
Of course. Yeah, that's what we're doing. Great.
It'll be like one of these songs that gets released may or may not be about this incident.
Beautiful. Okay, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
This is a skloozy.
It's just stupid or stupidity on my part. My boyfriend lives like an hour away, and mm-hmm. I have to wake up at like 4 a.m. to get to work on time if I stay right. at his house. So that day that it was like -40 with the wind chill, I like got up early, turned my car on, like let it run for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then like I thought nothing of it and went and got like Dunkin' Donuts coffee as I do. And my window wouldn't roll up. So I had like an hour drive home, window down. It's like literally life-threatening weather outside. And I like, I closed a blanket in the door. That kind of helped.
And, the, and yeah, that's insane.
And my boyfriend was like, why didn't you come back and just call it a day? And I was like, I don't know.
No, those mice needed their sterile sheets, you know? Exactly. They're not going to get turned down service just from anyone.
Right, exactly. Well, honestly, I'm like such a cheap ass. I think we got overtime that day if we like went in because a lot of people called off. So I was like, I'm getting that overtime.
Oh, Gumball, be there. God damn it, like, even if it kills me.
Yeah, my friends like joke with me. It's like, you could have died.
I
never felt like I was like in danger or anything. I had like the heat blasting and stuff.
Yeah.
It was,
oh my God.
It was just like, this is so stupid.
Right. I in those situations, I always think about like my mom would be so pissed if this is how I died.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. I need to get out of this situation. Because, like, mom would... I would not hear the end of it. Even if I was dead, I'm sure I wouldn't hear the end of it.
Right. My mom didn't know I stayed there that night. Oh, there you go. Still doesn't. She's not going to listen to this.
She's not going to listen? What?
No. I'm sorry. I can't. I'll get in trouble.
Well, I don't want you to get in trouble. Well, this was great. Is there anything else that you want to say, that you want to talk about, that you want to put out into the world? Oh, do you want to plug stuff?
I got nothing to plug.
Sincere Engineer.
Oh, I mean, like, my Twitter. I've been pretty active on the Twitter lately.
Cool.
Can I plug that?
Yeah.
It's pretty much catered to people that were born in 92, but that's okay.
Okay, cool. My brother was born in 93. So
nice, cool.
I'll make sure he gives it a follow.
It's also catered to people that like fart jokes.
Okay, cool.
That's pretty much everyone then.
Right. Yeah. You're hitting a wide demographic here. Actually, I like it. I like this social media strategy.
92 fart jokes.
Is that under at Sincere Engineer?
It is. Yeah.
Cool.
And I'll post about shows and stuff to make this more professional.
No, whatever. And everyone should go listen to this album. I really do like it a tremendous amount, and it was a happy discovery for me when I saw your songs. So, yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm glad I got to talk to you. Cool. So now I'm gonna say goodbye to you as if we're saying goodbye, but then I'm gonna stay on after. So
are you cutting this part?
We'll see.
You can leave it. It's cool.
I might leave it. So Deanna, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it. I appreciate you talking about your songs and having someone, you know, recite your lyrics to you. Do get me a lyric sheet. I'm going to put them up on the internet. So,
I will do that.
We can get that just happening. A lot more tattoos are going to, I think, start rolling in.
Nice. Yeah, everyone's mom's going to hate me.
All right, Dio. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you. Have a good one.
There's plenty of fish in this graveyard. There's plenty of ghosts in the sea. Now I'm sinking quickly with this concrete heart. I'm yelling, you can't catch me, you can't catch me. No, you can't catch me, you can't catch me. And I said, these are the thoughts that I got swimming in my head. And I said, these are the ones that take control and make me wish I was dead. And I said, maybe this is what it's all about. Your life, you spend the whole time trying to figure it out. friends in this graveyard. Swimming with the fish 6 feet deep, buried at sea. They say it's a game that you gotta play before you fall apart. They're yelling, you can't catch me, you can't catch me. Nah, you can't catch me, you can't catch me. And I said, these are the thoughts that I got swimming in my head. And I said, these are the ones that take control and make me wish I was dead. And I said,